Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is 95.7 The Game, broadcasting live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco in crystal clear FM. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
7:01. What was the big difference for Kevin Durant when it came to choosing the Dubs? We'll talk with our reporter, John Dickinson, at 7:30. He was at the press conference yesterday. And, of course, it's official now. Kevin Durant is a Golden State Warrior. The Dubs have formed their super team. And throughout the course of this process, picking a team, leaving Oklahoma City, what was the main reason? Well, Kevin Durant talked about meeting the guys, some of the players he's going to be balling with this year for the first time.
I just felt like this group of guys, when they came in to see me, everything was real. You know, you hear on the outside looking in, you hear nothing but great things about this organization, and you never know how it is until you get face to face with these guys. So to see Steph, Clay, Draymond, Andre walk in the house I was at, I could tell they were about business.
You know, Lo, we wondered before the meetings that Durant had with these prospective teams how much of an impact it would have to have different players, different people show up. Well, clearly, when it comes to the Dubs, the four players that took the time to get to the Hamptons to talk to Kevin Durant, it made a profound impact.
It was all the stars. They bought Iggy. They bought Steph, Draymond, Clay. They all was there. He even joked around with me, and he said, I got a text from Clay. I didn't even know Clay had a phone. I mean, he just goes to show you, man, that this team and the men, the way that these men were raised, the way Clay and Steph, just to who they are, Iggy and Draymond, they're good guys too. And when you're going to a team that's loaded with superstars, Draymond got MVP votes. Of course, Steph's MVP, Clay Thompson, all these guys, you watch them. You never see them pissed at one another. They're a band of brothers. And you got to watch. Durant watches a lot of TV, watches a lot of basketball, and he sees a team over there that they found a way to win. You heard LeBron earlier the year. That team over there, they won 18 games, and they won a championship last year, and watch the way they play. So you got to watch these guys, these pro athletes, they watch championship type of basketball. They watch teams, and they watch chemistry. That's what triggered KD. He goes, I want some of that. You know, the other team, L.A. brought their guys in. Blake Griffin punching out guys. You see all the disarray. It doesn't seem uniform. This team is united, this Dub team. And that was a determining factor for KD to make that decision, because the men that walked in that room, he said he looked in their face and he knew they was about business, boss.
I'll tell you what, it's got to be nice when a team that owns you, a team that came back from 3-1 down against you, beat you, humiliated you, sent you packing in the playoffs, a team that's got a ring, a team that just won 73 games in the regular season, flies to you and tells you they need you.
I know, right?
You don't have to sell them. They're bowing down, coming to you. That's like if I was 18 and Kathy Ireland and Cindy Crawford and Kate Upton, wow, all these models show up and they're like, Joe, we want you to take me to the prom. Take me. I'm not out there selling them. They're selling me.
You'd pass
out.
That's
what just happened right there. Kevin Durant can't beat the Warriors. And everyone says, well, if you can't beat them, join them. Kevin Durant just was chilling up in the Hamptons and had all these guys, supposedly the greatest organization in sports. Joe Lacob had some pretty strong comments in that article a couple months back about how they were changing the game of basketball. They all flew to meet him, not the other way around. So if you're Kevin Durant, how do you say no to that? Knowing that the biggest basketball juggernaut on the planet's bowing down to you. Mm. You're not selling them on how you want employment on that team. They're coming to you. So if you're Durant and you assume once you get here that you're the face of the franchise, I don't blame you. They've treated you already like you're the face of the franchise, like you're the MVP. You're the superstar. You're going to try to get him to buy into the system, and he will, because he wants to win. He wants to make this work, and he's that type of guy. But I wouldn't blame him one bit if he came in and he's like, all right, this is my show now. You came to me, remember? Mm. I didn't come to you.
It's got to feel good because you're talking about proud guys, confident guys, guys who are accomplished, who have won a championship, coming off 73 wins to go out there and actively pursue you.
But you don't think that when you get a new car, you want to test it around them. You want to open that sucker up. You, when you got that Corvette, they let you drive it. What'd you do? You said, yeah.
I drove responsibly.
Yeah, right. But you don't think that these guys, you don't think these boys on this team want to say, okay, KD, show me what you're working with. Of course they do. They brought him here for him to be KD. They understand what he is. They ain't trying to, I mean, of course they're going to move the ball around. Of course they're going to do certain things. But now, not just moving, but they can do a lot more one-on-one iso. They didn't have a guy that's just a one-on-one. They had the three ball, and you had Steph could shoot the three off the dribble, could shoot the three and miss you. But they didn't have a guy necessarily come hard to the paint and drive and mash it down hard in your face. That they got that guy now. They got that guy that can take over the game like a LeBron, drive, penetrate, and kick the ball out. And you're going to see this team continue to thrive by the three because people are going to have to collapse because this guy's 6'9". You're going to have to try to double him. And what is he going to do? Drive, penetrate, kick, just like LeBron does. And now he's got Klay, he's got Steph, and Draymond's not too bad of a three. So you got three guys now that can spot up anywhere on the court. How are you going to cover them?
We haven't seen a collection of talent in the NBA like this in terms of bona fide superstars. How will it work with touches? Because, Lo, I understand the Dubs have a different culture, but superstar players like to get their touches. They like to get their looks. They like to get their touches. How's that going to go?
They will, because here's the thing. When you have a guy like Durant who can penetrate and go to the hole anytime he wants, and when that double comes over, you're going to have to collapse. Because if you don't, he'll kill you.
And Durant is a willing passer in those situations.
Right. So I think that's why you're going to see this team still hit a lot of threes because of the spacing, because of Durant's going to draw a double, sometimes triple, because when he's on fire. And guys are going to be wide open. You're going to see more wide open threes on this team than you did last year.
Let's remember something, though, when we talk about the collection of talent. It's the perceived supergroup. It's the perceived greatest group of talent ever. They haven't played a minute yet. Like, if there's anything to take away from last season, it's to stop being so damn arrogant every time you think you're above the rest of the NBA. That's what everyone thought last year. As soon as they hit 73 wins at the end of the season, even before that point, it was nothing but the talk of dynasties.
Yeah.
This team didn't even win the title last year. They lost. LeBron's on top. So you went out and you brought KD in to get past LeBron. Great move. Team got better. But this isn't a super team until they actually take the court and start showing they're a super team. They're not a super team until they win the NBA championship. This year isn't about a one seed. It's not about getting to the Western Conference Finals and beating whoever it may be. It's not about getting to the finals and falling short in six saying, yeah, you know, we got there, we're close. You have to win the championship. You are a super group once you achieve the only mission you're setting out to achieve. Until then, it's really just a lot of comments and wishful thinking and boasting, which is fine. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. But they haven't taken the court yet. Let's not remember where we were all standing 3 weeks ago when everything went to hell on that 73-win season.
Let's go out to Bobby, who is in the 680. Bobby, good morning. You got a question about Steph Curry? What is it? Fire away.
Yeah, what's up, man? What's up, guys? Good morning. I had a quick question. I'll take my answer off the air. Just wanted to ask you guys your opinion. What do you think Steph's numbers on three will look? You think they'll, you know, kind of stay in the 200, 300 range, or you think they'll drop significantly over the past couple seasons? Have a great morning, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Bobby. Well, Lo, I'll ask you. He, what, hit 402 last year?
He'll stay in the threes. He'll stay in the threes because he's going to get looks. But he's not going to have to force so many. Sometimes last year he had to take over games.
Yeah. Well, like Anna said, it could be literally one of those situations where night to night now with so many stars. Who's got the looks that night based on matchups? Who's going to have the open looks and who's going to knock them down? And like Joe mentioned too, Draymond Green might be the biggest benefactor of all this because he's going to be left open more than anybody else in that starting lineup.
Low threes would be the ceiling for me. I think maybe around what the record used to be, 275, 280, something right in that neighborhood. He's not going to play as many games. Why would he play as many games? Why would you even come close to playing Steph Curry 80 games next year? What do you need him to play? I'll ask you right now. What do you need Steph Curry playing 80 games for?
You don't.
Please do not tell me with this collection of talent.
You don't.
You need him playing 80 games to win a one seed.
And they should be blowing teams out, and he should be getting a lot of rest too, like you're saying. I agree. You don't.
Or
need
why
him
not
to play
have scheduled nights off, like Greg Popovich does with some of his stars?
Well, if this team is as good as everyone keeps saying, you don't need the one seed to win a title.
I agree.
So there is absolutely no reason for Steph to play 80 games or for Steph to play 36 minutes a night.
Exactly. And Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich have never went out of their way to worry about the one seed. What matters most? Being healthy and playing your best basketball at the right time of year. Last year or this year, the Dubs, you know, the injuries and plus all the energy expended chasing 73 cost them.
Yeah, it did. And you know, you made a fascinating point earlier when you're talking about All-Star, especially with Klay Thompson, and you talking about him going against James for the All-Star, James Harden. It's going to be hard for him to make the All-Star when you got these prolific shooters. Everyone's not going to get the amount of touches, so it will be kind of hard for him to make it.
It is going to be fun on a side note to watch the Warriors, you know, just totally B-slap the Rockets five times a year and the Clippers too. Like, the Clippers have no chance. Doc Rivers and the Clippers have zero chance. And that makes me feel good all over.
Doc's probably going to start applying for a new job because he's done.
We got more on the official signing of Kevin Durant coming up at 7:45. But Raider fans, we got some football next. Malcolm Smith, very happy with some of his new teammates. Who did he compare the Raiders to? Can't wait to tell you next. 7:12, Chad Jones Low, 95.7 The Game.
Super reporter John Dickinson recaps Kevin Durant's introductory press conference coming up at 7:30. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
7:15. You know, Joe, you would have thought that the 3-1 deficit erased by the Cavs in the finals would have slowed the roll on some of these Dub fans, but arrogance now with the signing of Durant at an all-time high. Just back off. We got to get to the season first.
It's an exciting time, but let's really boil down what just happened. An individual took a pen and he put some ink on a piece of paper. You haven't won anything. You haven't even started anything. It's the beginning of something special, or what could be something special. But, I mean, it is kind of fascinating. 3 weeks ago, we were in a position where this station, you had individuals who had cried the night before after the loss. After a 3-1 series lead,
right,
which was probably the biggest collapse in NBA history.
It was.
73-win regular season, etc. Unanimous MVP, all these NBA firsts. You had the biggest collapse in NBA history. Tears were shed. And now 2 weeks later, it's a dynasty. Explain that to me.
We got more on the Dubs. And Kevin Durant officially signing with the Warriors. That's coming up at 7:45. But let's talk some football. Malcolm Smith, linebacker for your Raiders, was on Sirius XM. And he had some good things to say about your squad. In fact, he was asked about this Raider team being young, having a lot of talent in a lot of key places. If they're in a position to go on that same type of search we saw from his Seahawks team that went on to win the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
I do. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with the quarterback position, finding consistency there. And I think that's something that, you know, we've shown, Derek has shown that, you know, he's more than capable of doing. I feel like the pieces around it are going to come together as far as on the defensive side of the ball. And obviously, we've got some great playmakers on offense. So from that point, it's just about, you know, building that chemistry as a group, having some of those things to fall back on as far as the mantras that we had in Seattle. And I think we got a lot of experienced guys who know what it takes to win, and we're going to put the pressure on each other to be, you know, the team we want to be.
You know, Lowe, there's another, you know, big-time player talking about the Raiders, and that focus of the conversation begins with the quarterback and Derek Carr.
And when you play good defense, great defense, you don't need a great quarterback. When you play great elite defense, a la the Denver Broncos, the Baltimore Ravens, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers when their defense were at their best.
85 Bears.
85 Bears. When you play great defense, you don't need – what you need is making sure that your quarterback is not going to hurt you. That's why he talked about consistency. Because if you, as a quarterback, when you're playing great defense, you don't need to necessarily take big chances and give this defense – give the other opportunity for the other team to have a short field. That's why this quarterback position, you want to see Carr, you know, Joe talks about, hey, grow, mature. You want to see him take steps in the right direction, but you don't want to see necessarily take those gambles, those risks when you're playing great defense. And this Raider team has a chance to start putting together a pretty good defense.
You're going to find out everything you need to know about this club through the first 4 weeks of the season. If you can go 3-1 in the first 4 weeks of the season, you're for real. And that's what you're going to find out. Week one at New Orleans, 1.5-point underdogs. That says a lot about the expectations for this Raiders team. You're telling me in week one you're going into the Voodoo Dome.
Tough place.
You're not even getting the standard 3 points for home field advantage. That place isn't even worth 3 points. That's worth 4, 4.5. If it's a primetime game, home field advantage there is worth 5, 6. Talk to any Vegas bookmaker. Only place that's worth more for home field during a primetime game, Seattle.
Mm.
All right. It doesn't matter if the Saints are at their absolute best. The Saints are going to be good enough that they're worth laying the 3. So the expectations on Oakland right now to go in there as a 1.5-point dog, Vegas is telling you the Oakland Raiders and Derek Carr are a better team than the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees on a neutral field. That's what they're telling you right there with that.
It's true.
That is a game people are going to expect you to win. And if you don't, they're going to expect you to contend right up until the final buzzer. Week 2, you're going to come home and face Atlanta. Atlanta's always okay.
Decent, right.
They're never great. They're never terrible. They're okay. But the advantage of that game, West Coast, outdoors. Atlanta is a dome team on a fast track. You take them outdoors, you pop them in the mouth, they wilt. We've seen it 5, 6 years in a row. That's Matt Ryan's football team. Take them outdoors, pop them in the mouth, they wilt. Then you're going to play back-to-back roadies at Tennessee, which you did last year and you won, and you will be expected to win this year. And then you're going to go to Baltimore the following week. Back-to-back roadies on the East Coast, October 2nd against the Ravens. After that, if you emerge 3-1 from that, you host the Chargers, which is winnable. You host the Chiefs, which is winnable. You're at Jacksonville, which is winnable. You're at Tampa Bay. Looks winnable, but back-to-backs in Florida are going to be difficult. You host the Donkeys. Then you get the bye week, and then you get the Texans. And that's the mother of all spots right there because that game's going to be played at altitude in Mexico City. You think the altitude in Denver is something? It's an extra 2,000 feet higher up in Mexico City. Just ask the Olympians who went there in, I believe, the 70s, how that caught them off guard. That changed the way we did things for the U.S. Olympics. I think that was the Olympics that got the facilities moved to Colorado Springs. Teams needed to train at altitude. Texans are not coming off a bye for that game. They're going to play at Jacksonville and then head to Mexico City. I'm wondering if the Raiders are planning on getting down there a few days early to adjust. When we talked to Marquette King, he said he thought they were going down on Friday. I'd wonder, coming off a bye, if you'd want to get down there Wednesday or so. What do you think you would do if, as a player, knowing what you've battled in Denver and knowing this is 2,000 feet higher, would you want to get down there a couple days earlier?
Almost a week. You're going to Mexico City, different element, different climate, like you said. I wouldn't be surprised if Jack get him down there a week. I would.
Because that's the mother of all spots. They're going to be playing that road game, I believe, at Jacksonville, and then they got to come down. The division, a playoff spot, let's face it, it's not going to come down to a Raider team going 12-4. They're not going 12-4. Every game is going to matter.
And Tampa's going to be good, like you say, Joe. Tampa Bay is
They'll be better. But going there in the humidity, I mean, it's at the end of October, so it won't be bad. But the week before, you're playing in Jacksonville. So you're probably going to stay in Florida for 2 weeks. There are a lot of distractions there. There are a lot of things that can go wrong when you have those back-to-backs where you don't come home. That's why 3-1 to start the season. At New Orleans, hosting Atlanta, at Tennessee, at Baltimore. You go 3-1,
that's tough.
I'm ready to believe you're legit.
Also, Malcolm Smith had this to say. Take a listen to this. Praise Lowe, talking about one of his teammates, Khalil Mack.
I've never seen anybody like Khalil Mack, to be honest with you. He's kind of a one-of-a-kind as far as, you know, my football knowledge goes and my time being in the NFL. And even in college, I don't think I played against a player as kind of dominant as Khalil is in a one-on-one setting, even in a two-on-one setting. I think it's just going to make things better for the rest of us. We can take some pressure off of him. You know, Bruce getting back there and the other guys getting to the quarterback, it'll make it easy for us in coverage and we'll make some more plays. So he's a big part of our defense, and obviously I feel like he's a one-of-a-kind. If you guys know somebody similar, I don't know, maybe Derek Thomas.
There's Malcolm Smith, Sirius XM, talking about Khalil Mack. What do you expect from Mack this season, Lowe?
Another Pro Bowl year. Guys, it just, he reminds me of a guy, but more athletic and just a little more fluid. Lights out with Sean Marin when he was dominant. Strong, can bull rush you, speed, do it all. And he can get a little lower. I think Bruce Arians is that X factor.
Who's going to have more sacks, Irvin or Mack?
I think Bruce will. I think because you have a guy who's still a boy dog, and he's an alpha dog, and he wants to get after it. And Bruce Irvin, he's a hell of a player. This isn't some just, okay, he's playing the other side. Bruce Irvin is a bona fide pass rusher and a guy that's going to get after the quarterback. And especially with Khalil Mack, a lot of teams are going to turn their coverage, slide their offense to him to try to double him, have the back chip him. And so Bruce Irvin, he's tough in one-on-ones too.
Yeah, Bruce Irvin, great speed. Great speed. And that's what they liked him for. That's why Carolyn Schneider liked him coming out of college. Great speed.
Oh, he can get off the ball, and that's what you want, especially when you get that place and you're at the Raiders, you're playing at home, and that place, the Raider fans, it's getting loud. And what is a quarterback? That's when it's tough, because the offensive linemen, they're holding hands, and these guys are going to get off the ball. It's going to be a meeting back there. They're going to be, and then you get Aldon Smith back in week 10.
Shouldn't the argument be made that Mac will still lead the team in sacks? Because the logic, I agree, you're going to focus more on Mac. You're going to try to double team him. You're going to try to limit him. But everyone said that about Michael Strahan. Everyone said that about J.J. Watt. Everyone says that about Von Miller. And yet those guys every year, the greats, find a way through the double teams. The greats find a way to the quarterback anyway.
They do. They do. And it wouldn't. I mean, I think that when you look at a Strahan or a J.J. Watt and you say, okay, who else on that team besides J.J. Watt is equivalent to Bruce Irvin? I didn't see it, and I know exactly what you're saying. I think Bruce is that type of pass rusher because they're going to be doubling. Not that he's better than Cleo Mack, but he's a good one-on-one. And when you look at Stray, you know, you had some other guys that are pretty good complement. But I think this guy could be an elite pass rusher, and that's why I think they brought him in. But it's still Cleo Mack. He's a boy dog.
Have we secured our trip to New Orleans yet for the opener? We got to get there, man.
That'd be fun, man. That'd be a lot of fun.
I wouldn't make it to the game. Just being honest with you.
Just keeping it real.
I've been to New Orleans. I've missed plenty of flights out of New Orleans.
I just want to go with you two to see if I actually make it to the game on
Sunday.
You'll
make it. We'll start to get the drive to Daiquiri's. We'll go to the Pearline Connection. We'll go tear it up.
The what?
The Woody Wutton?
It's the Pearline Connection. It's a great place to eat. It's two of them down in town. Ralph and Calcoon's. That's all Mr. the Pearline. What is the Commander's Palace? There's some great...
You go out to Tulane, Giacomo's is out there.
Giacomo's.
The fried chicken. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I love some New Orleans, baby.
They got the legitimate absinthe, too. The naughty water.
Naughty water, baby.
Yeah, I had some of that. That was tactical error.
I want some of the naughty spaghetti and the naughty water.
That's the classic. They give you some of the absinthe, and as soon as you take a sip, as soon as you shoot it, you're done. This isn't doing anything. Give me another. And it's like, let me tell you something, Taurus. Why don't you calm down? Why don't you focus on your tip and pour me another?
Pat O'Brien's gets you some Hurricanes, Joe, and you're done.
That might be one of the three best day drinking spots in all of America. Pat O'Brien's, you don't want to go there and mess with everyone at night. Get there during the day when you can sit out back in the sun and start ordering the Hurricanes at like 1.
We got more in the NFL coming up in an hour. What type of a first impression did Kevin Durant make yesterday? We'll talk with our 95.7 The Game reporter, John Dickinson. 726, Chad, Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Are the Golden State Warriors equipped to be the new villain in the NBA? Chad, Joe, and Lowe discuss coming up at 7:45. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
7:31. It's official. Kevin Durant is a Golden State Warrior, and one of the guys on hand for the press conference yesterday was our 95.7 The Game reporter, John Dickinson, joining Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. JD, good morning. What was your first impression of Kevin Durant at the presser yesterday?
You know, I thought that, and it's really, it was unclear to me, and I had gone back and forth as far as whether, you know, I thought, as we all did, he was going to actually come to the Warriors. But it seems like he's just a fit personality-wise with this team. I mean, we all know he's a basketball fit, and if you plug him into Harrison Barnes' spot, there's going to be a significant upgrade, obviously, with him being one of the best players in the game. But I think when you look at the personality fit, as far as a guy that just wants to play basketball, as far as a guy that, you know, he's getting shots up after the press conference ends in the gym. You know, he was funny with a couple of, you know, just wry jokes, you know, mixed into this press conference. He's very, very laid back. He reminds me a lot of the other players that the Warriors have had on this roster, personality-wise. So while he's a basketball fit, you know, I think it's becoming more and more clear how when Steve Kerr and Bob Myers and Andre Iguodala and Green and Thompson and Steph Curry went and got in the room with him, that they all just clicked and it became a no-brainer kind of a decision for him to come to the Warriors.
JD, Low Neal here. When KD said that, and the first thing he wanted to do was look at Steph and say, you know who I am. Am I the type of player you can play with? What did that mean, and what was he trying to get across?
Well, he wanted to know for sure that, Steph Curry was cool with the fact that there was going to be another big-time superstar coming to this team, and, a guy really that's been a superstar in the league for a longer period of time than Steph Curry has been. You know, because this has been Steph's team, and, yeah, it's been about strength and numbers, and it's been about the depth, and it's been about the fact that they have three outstanding players with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green factored in. But I think Kevin Durant wanted to find out 100% for sure if Steph Curry was cool having another big time superstar, you know, riding along with him, and maybe even stealing some of the headlines away. Because, you know, as much as the Warriors are going to be one of the greatest teams of all time projected on paper, you know, next year a lot of it's going to be about Kevin Durant, whereas the last couple of years it's been all about Steph Curry, who's won the MVP. You know, well, next year a lot of it's going to be about how is Durant fitting in. You know, is Durant going to get his championship? I mean, a lot of it's going to be about Kevin Durant. So I think he wanted to look Steph in the eye and be like, "Dude, are you for real? Like, are you really this humble and this cool with this?" And I think he got the answer that he was looking for, and he got the answer that favored the Warriors.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson joining Chad, Joe, and Lowe here on 95.7 The Game. 2 years, $14.73 million for Festus Ezeli to Portland. What happened here, JD? Everybody was getting paid with the new salary cap, and Ezeli's only going to get $14 million over 2 years?
I think you saw, you know, big men, there was left with a lot of big men on the market, I think, after that first wave of free agency. But I also think he's trying to reestablish his value. And I thought for sure that he would get a lot more than that. I mean, you look at it, I mean, I thought he'd get four times that, to be perfectly honest. But I think he's trying to reestablish value and be in a position where he's a free agent and there's money to be spent again. You know, so I think on the smaller scale, he's doing, you know, like a Kevin Durant. You know, Kevin Durant signed a two-year deal, like some of these other star players have done, signing two-year deals where they can opt out and then automatically make more money. I think Ezeli wants to go to a good situation, a team that we all saw is clearly on the rise in the Portland Trail Blazers, who nobody thought were going to make the playoffs, but gave the Warriors a tough run for their money. I think he wants to go there, fit into their system, help them, and then get paid, and get paid more than he would have stood to make at this point in time. So that was definitely a shocker. I think it's just about the fact that he lost some money really due to injury and not playing well once he returned. He's trying to recoup some of that money, and it's going to, unfortunately for him, it's going to take him a year, maybe two, to get it back.
He's on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. He's our 95.7 The Game reporter. John Dickinson with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. JD, thank you. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good.
A lot of people have been blown away by that, have taken time to notice that Kevin Durant comes across as humble.
It's how he's always been. The best thing about Durant isn't what he does on the court. It's how he is off it. That's what you're looking for when you're trying to build chemistry and build cohesion amongst a unit that very well should have a ton of egos but appears to have none. The year the NBA went in that lockout, what was that, like 2011? I had just moved to Las Vegas, and I remember Durant was everywhere that summer. It was like the summer of Kevin Durant. And the key, cool thing about it was it wasn't a marketing ploy. It wasn't a PR stunt. Like, Durant was just kind of hanging out on Twitter, and he was showing up at different events. Like, one night he's in Oklahoma and he gets a tweet from kids at either University of Oklahoma, UO, is mm-hmm. that what they call it? Or Oklahoma State. There was some
OU.
Fraternity flag football league. Right. And some guy tweeted, Durant, hey, man, we could use a quarterback. Why don't you come over to Stillwater, Norman, whatever it was. We'd love for you to play quarterback in the game tonight. You know, just screwing around. Durant showed up, and he played, and he shredded.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's all caught on video. It's like, damn, that's cool that Kevin Durant did that. And all summer long, that's all he was doing. He showed up at Rucker Park and dropped like 50 in that game.
That was awesome.
He hit, what was it, like six threes in a row to the point where the crowd just comes storming on the historic Rucker Park, and the game ends up getting shut down. And he's just in the middle of it all, just chilling, expressionless on his face. All summer, he was just doing all this cool stuff. And that's just who he is. He comes across as very genuine.
It's unique when you can get a group of superstars like this together. Not just Durant, but Steph, Klay, Draymond.
One mission.
They're all willing
One mission.
To move the basketball.
Absolutely. hard. It is hard to find that. It's unity.
And Steve Kerr's got the ability, low, to tell Kevin Durant, hey, that's a bad shot. You got to move the basketball. He'll do that.
Of course.
But not every coach can do that.
You're right.
But what makes you say that? He hasn't coached him for 1 minute yet. We haven't seen a single game where that's happened.
Well, the reason why I can say that now is because, one, based on Kevin Durant's track record, he's always been a very coachable superstar.
So it's because Durant's coachable, not because Kerr has the ability to coach him.
Well, I think Kerr has the ability to coach, absolutely, because, one, he's got the experience. He won championships as a player, but as a coach, you know, it was little things like going to Iguodala and explaining to him why he needs him to come off the bench and how that's going to help the team. Little things like that, which can help move a long ways. He just won 73 games. He's won a championship. He was on the verge of winning another championship. So, yeah, I think Kerr's got the gravitas from some of the other guys around the league.
But he had Azili in the game in the fourth quarter of Game 7. He had Azili start the game, had to yank him. He had Azili start the second half, had to yank him, and then put him back in the fourth.
So there's
a lot of great stuff he's done with a great team, but then there were the moments where you needed the coach to make the key decisions, and it didn't necessarily happen. There's a flip side to all of it.
Yeah.
It appears as if Kevin Durant will be coachable and Steve Kerr will be able to coach him, but we haven't seen a minute of it yet.
No, you're right. We have to wait and see. I'm just saying, based on track record, that's what I think will happen. I mean, every coach has had their blunders, even Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson. I've got faith in Curry that he can communicate with these guys.
Well, if Kevin Durant wants to win a championship, he's going to have to buy in. And I think that Kevin Durant, you know, is that type of guy. You talk about what he did at Rutgers Park. You just talk about who he is as a person. Joe, he's a guy that's going to buy in. He's a guy that wants to win a championship. Is he going to take some bad shots? Everyone is. That happens all the time. But I think that Kerr is going to – I think that the biggest thing is from the guys and the team and himself said, we didn't win nothing last year. Everything that you're saying, Joe, I think that Kerr is going to say, guys, we won 73 games, but we didn't get the cherry on top, and that's winning a championship. It's about winning championships, and we didn't do it. People are talking about us going to be a dynasty. If we're going to be a dynasty, then that means we have to do our part to be a dynasty and win championships. And I think that's why Durant came here to win a championship. He's not here necessarily for the money. You talked about him passing up over $54 million. Why? It's about winning the championship for him.
I wonder if Zaza's worried about touches. You think he's having a meeting with Coach Kerr right now? Hey, Coach, I know we're getting a lot of love for KD and Steph and all these guys, but it's like, I need my touches too. Zaza needs some love, Coach Kerr.
Yeah, I saw something on Bleacher Report with Charles Bott. All the guys that won a ring, had Malone, had them all lined up, and Kerr was handing them out jerseys. Come join the team because everyone loves it.
Hey, Dub fans, we'd love your reaction to what you saw yesterday with the press conference. You want to chime in? 888-957-9570. How will this work? Is there enough touches to go around in this offense when you got four great superstars in the starting lineup? 888-957-9570. It's 741. Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Should Johnny Cueto start the All-Star Game for the National League? Scott Miller of Bleacher Report joins us coming up at 8. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
7:45, top story today. Kevin Durant, officially a Golden State Warrior. He's in. And now we just got to wait a few more months before the season gets underway so we can watch these guys play. Great Warrior debate breaking out in the studio. Hey, Lowe, if the Dubs won the championship this year, do you think Kevin Durant would have still signed with the Warriors in free agency?
That's a great question. I would say probably yes.
Either way, he's in.
The guy looked at him and he wanted to know what Steph wanted to do. Did the Warriors still go out and sign him? Absolutely.
Now, you talked yesterday before the press conference of the different things that you wanted to hear from Kevin Durant. It sounds like you heard everything from him that you needed to feel comfortable with this whole situation moving forward.
Yeah, you're bringing in this other superstar. Right now, they say two suns can't shine. Well, right now, they got three suns. Klay, Steph, Dre, and KD, now it's four. But they understand the pecking order. And I think that when you have a man that says, I wanted to look at Steph, and I wanted to know the kind of – he knew, wanted to recognize the kind of player that they're bringing in, and myself. He wanted to see how Steph does his eyes. Does he say, no, he didn't stutter. He said, man, I'm tired. Come on. I mean, when you have to exhort the kind of energy, and Joe talks about the 73 wins, all the things that this team went through, being the villain, everyone was starting to hate them, and they looked tired last year. Then in the season, in the playoffs, they had to grind that OKC win out. They finally got through it. The Cavs, Draymond gets kicked out of the game, and you just saw it, man. The energy was sapped out of him. They welcomed him with open arms. All you had four guys. The four guys on that team with the most gravitas, with the most leadership skills, with the most the guys that are people listen, that follow, all four of them went. All four of them went to say, man, we want you here. We understand you are the piece that we're missing. And Kevin Durant, he acknowledged that. And you want to hear that from another superstar that's leaving a team that's coming, and you want to hear him say, these guys knew who I am. They knew who I was, know what they were getting and bringing me in, and he accepts it. So I think it's a great fit.
We do realize that it's really easy to say, yeah, I know my role. Yeah, I know my place. Yeah, I'm happy to be here when you face no adversity whatsoever.
True.
The only thing that's happened for everyone here is an abundance of riches. Durant just got paid and joined a better team. The Warriors just got better as a team on paper. True. Everyone's happy. So it's really easy to throw out all of the correct statements. No one's going to say anything controversial now because there's nothing controversial to say. But let's remember something. When we talk about how cohesive everyone's going to be, how everyone's going to get along, these are the same leaders of your team that last year were openly recruiting Kevin Durant in front of players on their own team who had just helped them win a title, who obviously knew they were going to be pushed out the door, Barnes, Azili, Barbosa, Bogut, knowing they were going to get kicked off this team that they helped win a title because Kevin Durant was coming in. We get that, right? Like, we sit here and we say, Steph, Clay, Draymond, great leaders, and they are. They've shown that. Bringing in Kevin Durant, we all know our place. Everyone knows the role. We're going to be great. We're going to win a championship. But we realize that this recruitment started well before the Warriors lost the championship. They went out and were recruiting Durant all throughout the year. It was open that they were doing it. There were guys in the locker room that helped them win a title that knew, well, if my brothers in arms are out there trying to get Durant, that means I'm gone. They want me gone. If I'm Harrison Barnes, I'm sitting there going, they don't want me back. They'd prefer Durant. If I'm Azili, if I'm Bogut, if I'm Barbosa, you're realizing you're expendable. You helped win a title, and you're going to be booted for a guy who your team's beaten over and over and over again.
I think
so.
When
we sit here and we constantly say, yeah, they're going to get along, everything's going to be great, I think you have to give some pause. I think it's just, you can't just jump so far down the road and start saying, dynasty, it's going to be easy. That's the problem. This was the same problem we had last year. 73 wins, this is cake. This team's built to win every title for the next 5 years. Oops.
Well, when you talk about, you know, Joe's talking about the people and the players, and you've talked about the importance of the Dubs who showed up. You've often talked about that time where you had the chance to go to San Diego as being the most important free agency period of your career, 16 years in the NFL. What happened? How did that process play out?
Well, you have to look at it like this. Even with the Cavs, all these teams go through this process. LeBron goes back to Cleveland, and he goes and starts recruiting players. Kevin Love, bring in certain guys, get guys moved. This is the NBA. This is sports.
Did you ever actively recruit other players for teams you're on?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, I pick up the phone for certain things, and Chris Dillman, we could get him on the phone. He was going to go to Seattle. Offensive guard, Jono is his, went to the Pro Bowl. Chris Dillman, he calls me when he's in Seattle. I would call AJ and think, look, this guy wants to be here. This is 10 o'clock at night. I call him, you know, actively recruited. I mean, so guys do that. LT did. I mean, so there's guys and teams that understand their role. And when you talk about Festus Azili and all these guys, they didn't know for sure they were gone. And Bogut didn't know for sure he was gone.
All the articles were written saying, yes, the Warriors can bring in Kevin Durant. Here is A, B, C, and D of what will happen in order to get Durant. Names were thrown out there. Most of them knew they were gone.
But when did they know that?
Super Bowl week. We talked about it Super Bowl week, and we had the information right in front of us over at Moscone Center during Super Bowl week saying, yes, can you believe it? They could afford KD. Here's what it will cost. Barnes, Bogut, possibly Iguodala, Barbosa, right. Yeah. Et cetera. We talked about it. They knew. If they know their teammates are recruiting Durant, they were able to read that information just like everyone else. Everyone understands the salary cap. Guys know that their teammates are actively recruiting their replacement.
I wish there was
Iggy,
a way.
But Iggy's name's been thrown around. Here's a guy that can trade. Is he going to? I mean, It goes with the territory. I think the professional athletes, you always talk about take what you can get what you can get, because it's going to come a time where they're going to slam the door on you. Or you're going to not be wanted there. And teams are going to always try to upgrade. Everyone's got their shelf life. And when you're a superstar, yours just seem to be a little longer. Draymond and Steph and Clay and those guys are going to – right now, they're the focal point. So they can help make decisions because they want to get better. But I think that those decisions are coming above their head. And then they're like, hey, we're thinking about this particular player, and the coach or the GM will let them know and say, man, that'd be a great addition. So it happens. I wonder how much
some of that chatter around Super Bowl time impacted Harrison Barnes down the stretch as he continued to play poorly and it snowballed.
Well, he made his choice. He told him he wanted to go get more money. He said, hey, look.
He didn't. He said he wanted to come back. It was the opposite. Barnes wanted to come back.
I'm talking about after the year left, they offered him a contract for $16 million per year. And he said, no, I think that I'm worth more. I want to test the market. I'm going to play it out. So Harrison Barnes made a decision, too. So loyalty wasn't to the team at that particular time.
Come on, man. Everybody knew what was going to happen with the salary cap. It was a stupid business move to take that deal.
Right.
Everyone knows that.
So he gambled. There's other guys that do it. I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. It's nothing wrong if a player to say, hey, I think I'm going to get more money. Some players believe they're going to get more. Some don't. Some do. It's in that territory. The sports world is just, you are a commodity. And as soon as athletes understand that, trades, how it goes down, you can't control it. All you can do is control the way you play.
Let's go out to Castro Valley and bring in Ricky. Ricky, good morning. Thanks for the phone call. What did you think of Durant at the presser yesterday, and how do you think this is going to fit? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Matt in San Jose. Matt, what's your what was your impression on Durant at the press conference yesterday?
Yeah, good morning, you guys. Honestly, I was really I'm still in awe. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was at the back of my mind, I was always thinking, like, damn, what if he pulls out, like, a DeAndre Jordan on us and ends up changing his mind at the last minute? And it was hilarious because I was looking at the Dallas Mavericks Twitter, and they literally handcuffed Harrison until it was officially time to sign him. So they weren't having it at all. I'm happy to see Barbosa go to Phoenix. Like, he started his career there, I believe. And overall, like, I'm still trying to accept it. I'm just really excited for next season. Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, the Mavericks weren't messing around this time. Let's handcuff Harrison Barnes so he doesn't go DeAndre Jordan on us. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Robert in San Jose. Robert, good morning. What's your take on Barnes, my man?
Harrison Barnes had all year to prove that he was worthy. It wasn't just that he failed in the playoffs. During the regular season, he had plenty of opportunity to prove that he was worthy of a $23 million contract. He didn't do it. So I don't want to hear about, you know, he's mad or he went to shell because they were recruiting a better player. The fact that KD is only getting $2 or $3 million more than Barnes is absolutely ridiculous. Great move by the Warriors.
Appreciate that. Well, I mean, it clearly worked out for Barnes, too. He turned down $16 million a year and got more. And he didn't play well last year, so obviously he knew what he was doing.
It's what the market would bear.
You can continue to reach out to us on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. That number is 95795. Your thoughts on the Durant press conference yesterday, your first impression, and how you think all this will fit together, 95795, the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Do you have something else there, Lowe?
About Kevin Durant. He was just in his press conference. I loved it because he was just charismatic. The guy had an aura about him. He was relaxed. You watched him.
Was it the same guy that you met at the celebrity football game? Because you were taken back by him last year when you had a chance to meet him.
Absolutely. He's a guy that's not an eye guy. He doesn't say that, oh, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do this, that, and other. He goes, man, I'm here to win a championship. I'm here to play basketball. He let the fans know that it was a hard decision that he had to make. He said, I spent 9 years at a foreign organization that did me right. He said, but man, when he had to make this decision, he said, I knew the responsibility that I had. I knew what people were, how the criticism that I was going to take. And he said he was prepared for it. He said, it's never easy. He said, one of the most hardest, difficult times in his life. A happy time, but at the same sense, he knew that he was going to get ridiculed. Look, he knew that people were going to not be happy with some of the decisions, but he did what's right for KD.
The Warriors, how will they handle adversity the first time this group meets it? We'll talk with the voice, Tim Roy. He's going to join the show at 9. Johnny Cueto has had quite a first half for the Giants. 4 complete games. Has he earned the right to start that All-Star game? We'll talk with Scott Miller from Bleacher Report next. 756, Chad, Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.